Good morning, everyone. It is a glorious day. We are gathered together to worship, to lift up the name of Jesus. He is our King, our Lord, our Master. He is the lover of our souls. He is our all in all. He is majestic and glorious. Jesus, Jesus, our Messiah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. You know, sometimes, for me personally, there are times when I question and I say, is this all there is to the Christian life? Is this it? Is this all there is? I know there's more. But God, I want more. I want to know you more. I want to experience you more. I want more of who you are. And then I'm reminded, all of God is in me. He lives in me. He lives in you. And I realize that it's me that I need to draw closer to God. I need to draw closer to God. And I may need to do it a little bit differently than I was doing it before. Because what I was doing before might have worked 5 years ago, but is it working for me now? No, because I've grown. I need to experience God more by drawing closer to him in a way that fits who I am today. You know, I saw this picture of a house. It was for sale. The realtor had the sign up on the yard, and it says, for sale. And I saw the house, and I looked at the house, and I thought, I wouldn't really want that house. That looks kind of drab. It looks kind of normal, kind of not very interesting. I'm not really that interested in that sign either, until I recognized that on the sign where it says for sale and the realtor's information, there was another sign below it. And it said, I'm gorgeous inside. And I went, wow. What I see on the outside isn't what's true on the inside. So we need to see ourselves as God sees us. We need to see how God sees us. And you can even ask him, Lord, how do you see me? What is it that you see about me? Why are you so fascinated with me? And Songs, Song of Solomon, I just put songs here. In chapter 1, verse 15, it says, my darling, you are so lovely. You are beauty itself to me. Your passionate eyes are like gentle doves. And that's in the Passion Translation. So God sees who you are on the inside. He sees your eyes. He loves your eyes. When we put our eyes on him, he just looks at us like, wow. Have you ever looked into the eyes of a newborn baby? And they just stare, stare, stare. Well, that's the kind of intimacy that we want with our Heavenly Father, that we want with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The eyes are the lamp of the body. You are his darling. He loves you. You have beautiful, passionate eyes. And through your eyes, he sees your heart. And he knows how much you love him and want to draw close to him. God sees us as faultless. In Colossians 1:22, it says that now by the means of the physical death of his son, God has made you his friends in order to, which means for the purpose of, to bring you holy, pure, and faultless into his presence. And when we come into his presence, it means face to face. So he has already made you holy. He's already made you pure and faultless. He sees you. That's how he sees you. Songs chapter 4, verse 7. Every part of you is so beautiful, my darling. Perfect is your beauty, without flaw within. I'm like, but Jesus, didn't you see what I did yesterday? Didn't you see, didn't you hear how I talked to my husband or to my kids? Didn't you hear that? And you're still calling me beautiful and flawless? Yes, he is. Jesus washed you in his own blood. He has washed you clean. And you are without flaw, you are pure, you are faultless, and you are blameless in his sight. He doesn't look at all that stuff. He already did away with that at the cross. You're washed clean. He sees you the way he created you to be. He knows who you are to be. You are precious and honored. In Isaiah 43, verse 4, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. So God did not turn away from sin. Jesus was on the cross, and we've been taught that God turned his face away because he cannot look upon sin. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the Father was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So God was right there at the cross. He was there with Jesus. The Holy Spirit was right there with Jesus. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were at the cross reconciling you to himself because he knows who you are and he loves you. He created you and he purchased you with blood. And Jesus laid down his life willingly to redeem you and to give you that born again experience. You are brand new in his sight. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139. The entire psalm is talking about how God sees you and how much he loves you. He created you. Chapter 139, verse 13 to 14. For you, this is the psalmist speaking, for you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I recommend that you take that psalm, Psalm 139, and you memorize it because it's talking about how God sees you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the Amplified Version. If any person is engrafted in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. You are engrafted in Christ. And what does that mean to me? When I think about this verse and I've meditated on this verse, to me it means I have been cut off from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and I have been engrafted in to the tree of life. I am cut off from that, from the garden. The image of God is restored because Jesus made it that way, and I am engrafted into the tree of life. You are rooted and grounded in love, and you are planted on the banks of the river of life that comes out from the throne of heaven. And you yield fruit in every season. When you're engrafted into that tree of life, you yield fruit in every situation, everything of life. You have life to give. God takes delight in you. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. He will rejoice over you with singing. Hallelujah! He loves you. And you notice, this isn't the Lamb of God. This is the mighty warrior. The mighty warrior. Can you imagine a mighty warrior singing a song over his beloved? Yes, that's Jesus. He does that. But it doesn't look like this. Singing a song over his beloved. It doesn't look like that. No, my goodness, my. Can you imagine the volume of that song? Oh, my beloved. He's a warrior and he will fight for you. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you can endure, but he will swoop in and he will carry you out. And he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. Now, how does God see you? Right? Well, if you take your phone, or if you have a mirror handy, I take my phone and I put it on selfie mode so I can see myself. I see me. Now, this is a very good exercise to do. What you do is you look in the mirror and you say, God loves me. I love myself. God loves me. I love myself. God loves me and I love myself. So you keep repeating that and you look right into your eyes and you'll be surprised. It may be difficult at first. Some people don't want to look at themselves in the mirror and they certainly don't want to say, I love myself. But do it. Do it. As you see yourself, you're going to start to see how God sees you. Speak these scriptures over yourself. Go to Psalm 139 and incorporate that in and speak to yourself, because your ears are going to hear your voice and your ears are going to believe what you say because it's scriptural. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And it's difficult to love others in a godly way if you don't know how to love yourself. We are located in Christ. If you go to any concordance and put in him or in Christ, you'll come up with hundreds of scripture verses because that's where we are located. It is your spiritual GPS. If you're lost, turn it on. What does it say? Where am I? You are in Christ. Colossians 3, verse 3, for you died to this world, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden with Christ. Here, the two of you are together. You are hidden with Christ. Where? In God. Wow. And the Holy Spirit lives in you. You are like in an envelope. You're like totally sealed and secure with the Godhead. You died to this world, and this is where your real life is hidden, with Christ, in God. God chose you before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen. Now, before the foundation of the world, that word world is cosmos. So before creation, before creation, you were chosen in Christ. And you were chosen to be holy and blameless before him in love. 2 Timothy 1:9 takes it another step, and he says, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus, when? Before time began. What? That word is chronos, time. So before creation and before time, you were already chosen in Christ. You are holy and blameless, and you have a holy calling. God knew you before the beginning. That's why we have the word eternity. There is no beginning, no end. He knew you. He had a purpose for your life. And he knew every day of your life, including yesterday when you did such and such. He already knew that. Nothing is a surprise. Nothing is a surprise because he already knows you in him. And you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You have a calling on your life. You are chosen in him. My goodness, how special are you? Amazingly special. The Bible is rich in its expression of who you are and how God sees you and how you are located in him. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. He is joined to the Lord. Joined to the Lord. That word joined means glued. You are glued to the Lord. And you are one spirit with him. You know, if you're doing any kinds of projects at home like I do sometimes, I get out my super glue. And it gets on my fingers and my fingers start to stick together and I gotta pry them apart with that super glue, and sometimes it's a little hard. Sometimes I use Gorilla Glue, even harder. Right? But we are glued. We are glued together to the Lord and one spirit with him. Which means that nothing can separate us from the love of God. If we're glued to him, if we're like, our fingers are crossed and glued together. We are one, right? We are one with him. So nothing can separate us from the love of God. And the love of God was demonstrated when he gave his son at the cross. There is no separation from his love. None at all. But your emotions might tell you differently. Your mind might tell you differently. Your carnal nature might rise up above your spirit man and start to dominate. And when that happens, you start doing things that, and you're like not tuned in to that one spirit with him. You're not tuned in. It's still a reality, but you're not tuned in, and you're over here and you're like doing all these other types of things, and you're like, oh my gosh, where did he go? He hasn't gone anywhere. Come back and allow your spirit man to rise up and dominate that soulish realm, that carnal nature, dominate it. So when we draw close to him, we are elevating our spirit man above the lies of the demons. Above the lies of what the world tells us is right and true. Our spirit man rises up above all the things that would come against the knowledge of the Word of God. So when those things start to happen and we've recognized it, we confess our sins. Right? We confess our sins. God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God is still saying, you are my darling. You are holy, blameless. You are righteous. You are pure. This is who I see you to be. I don't see the stain of that sin on you. No, the blood of Jesus washed it away. I see you for who I created you to be. Jesus said, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He's talking about unity. He's talking about being at one with him. And you know, in the world, they tend to look at the church as people that are weak, people that are opinionated, judgmental. We have a bad reputation in the world. And that's because we don't see ourselves the way God sees us as a church, generally speaking. We don't understand who we are in Christ Jesus. We don't know. And the world is very content for Christians to go to church and do their thing over there. Just don't come over into our world. Don't interfere with what we're doing. You can be over there. You have your own channel. You have the Dove channel. You do that. You do that. You stay over there. But it will be when we have oneness, when we have unity with the Father, we have unity with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. When we are in him, he is in us. That's when the world will start to take notice and see the glorious church. Because we will look like Jesus. We will talk like Jesus. The world really has no issue with Jesus. They think Jesus was a good man. But when we start to take on that nature that radiates out of us, then the world will start to take notice and say, they've got something going on, and I wonder what that is. And that's where the world is going to say, I want that. They want what Jesus has. They want it. They've been looking for it their whole life. They just haven't seen it. And so when we stand up, we rise up, and we become those people that God has created us to be, and we know who we are, we know we belong to Jesus, then there will be a shift in the culture. So think of this. What does it mean? I am in you, you are in me, we are one. What does that mean? What can I think of that would illustrate that? And to me, I think of a cup of water. So you got your cup, and it's got the water in there. And then you go into the ocean, and you put the cup into the ocean. And now the ocean, the water, has all been together now, and here's this cup in the ocean. So is the ocean in the cup? Yes. Is the cup in the ocean? Yes. I am in you, you are in me, we are one. That's kind of how I see that. So in him, in Jesus, in Christ, we live, we move, and we have our being. So we're like the fish in the ocean, right? We're swimming around. He is our atmosphere. He is that is all around us and in us. We're swimming in the ocean of his being. So then what we need to be on guard about is separating our lives into the sacred and the non-sacred. The sacred, I go to church on Sunday. I watch different ministries on Zoom. I pray in the morning. I I read the Bible, I do this, and I've got my time for that. The rest of the time, I just go do my thing. I go to work, I do this, I go there, I have a good time, or whatever. But then, oh, next day, oh, gotta go read my Bible now. So we separate our life out. We have the sacred and the non-sacred. But if I'm one with God and He's one in me, there is no separation. I carry Him wherever I go. I can imagine, and I have heard of housewives. They're doing the dishes, and as they are doing the dishes, they become aware of the bubbles and the feel of the dish, the feel of the sponge, the warmth of the water. They're tuned into the experience of what's happening right now, and they can sense that in their hands is Jesus' hands, and they're doing the dishes together. They're washing their dishes together. They put them in the drain. And as she's doing the dishes, she's tuned in to the life of God in her. And the Holy Spirit gives her revelations and visions and understandings. All while she's doing the dishes, there's no difference. Doing the dishes is as sacred as going to church, in a sense, because she's worshiping at the same time. She is communing with the Father. She's in that realm. Or the mechanic who's at work, and he has this engine that has a problem and he doesn't know how to fix it, and he prays and God gives him words of knowledge and he does his thing and tweak, tweak, and it works. Or the accountant who at lunchtime is praying for his coworkers to be healed or to have whatever needs that they have. So they carry with them the presence of God, and they're learning how to be in tune with God at all times. So when they do go to church, when they do read the Bible, when they do pray, it's just a continuation of what they're already doing. They're not forsaking those things, but they are so in Christ and their awareness of being in Christ that those things are almost an interruption. It's like, yay, oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I need to read the Bible, and I want to read the Bible, and I love to read the Bible, and I'm going to read the Bible. Thank you for more revelation. Thank you. And I continue to pray. I'm still praying. I'm praying. So the Apostle Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. So he was doing it all the time. He was in tune. And that's what it means to be located in Christ. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Joshua and in Deuteronomy, it says that, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And in Deuteronomy, it also says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid. And God told that to Joshua at one time as well. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are not out there by yourself. So when there's a negative report, what is that? That's an opportunity to practice co-reigning with Christ from our position in Him. We get to move into the experience of being effective in co-reigning. We get to move in different levels of governmental authority. We get to operate in the kingdoms of man, the kingdom of animals, the kingdom of nature, the kingdom of darkness. We get to rule and reign in all of these different kingdoms. And we get to learn what it is, what is on the heart of God, and then we get to bring that to pass on the earth. Lord, what would you have me do today? What would you have me do? What would you have me say? Let's go together. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see that there? I want you to command that. Okay, boom, practice, 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 practice. And the Lord is like, yay, you're just a little kid right now, but pretty soon you're going to get the hang of it. Yes, we're going to keep developing you. We're going to keep on training you in the ways of the kingdom. So dwell in the secret place and remain there. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant was carried on the shoulders of men. And that was a foreshadowing that the Holy Spirit would make his Ark of the Covenant in us, and that we would be carrying him wherever we go. I think it was the 16th century, there was a woman named Catherine of Siena. And this is what she wrote. Believe the incredible truth that the Beloved has chosen for his dwelling place the core of your own being, because that is the single most beautiful place in all creation. The single most beautiful place in all of creation is your heart. It was made for God, and he delights in it. The core of your being was created for the presence of God. That is his holy of holies. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you. How much closer can he get? Right? Real estate. Location, location, location. The Holy Spirit right here. He's taken up residence on the inside of you. All of the kingdom of God is within you. You lack nothing. Every good thing is available to you. All of the resources of heaven. You have access through the promises of God. You have his power, his protection, his provision. You have his attention, his love, his security. Everything of the kingdom is already inside of you. We are glory carriers, living by the power of the Holy Spirit, living from the power of union. And we carry authority because we carry the one who is authority. You have access at any time to turn inwards. With conscious awareness, you tune in and center yourself. We are strengthened with might by his Spirit in our inner man. This is called the prayer of centering, where you just become aware and tune in to his presence that's already in you. John G. Lake, when he would get dressed, he would put on his suit. And as he's putting on his suit, he would become aware of the fabric against his skin. And all of the different pieces that he would put on, he would be totally aware of everything about it. And then as he's looking in the mirror and adjusting his tie, he would look in the mirror and say, Jesus is wearing this suit. He knew Jesus was inside of him, and just that alone would spark and ignite his faith, and he would go out and start his day with that. You are complete in Christ Jesus. All of the Godhead is in Jesus, and Jesus is in you. You are complete in him. There's nothing that's missing. Radical intimacy with the Lord allows you to dwell in the secret place instead of just visiting. So you visit, then you go off and do your own thing. You come back, you visit some more, you go off and do your own thing. But the goal is to visit more often and to visit longer in that secret place, to visit more often, to visit longer, until it becomes where that is your dwelling place. You've moved in to that secret place, and you're walking in it, living in it, breathing in it. You're seeing in it, hearing in it, you're feeling in it, everything. You are in the secret place. Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So we remain in the shadow. So I was at home and I was outside. The sun was a little bit hot and the cat came over and sat down in my shadow, right in front of me. Cat sat in the shadow, looked up at me, started meowing. We had a little conversation. Then I went, oh, let me get you some water. Okay, he's still in my shadow. Well, let me give you some food. He's still in my shadow. Here, let me pet you. He's still in my shadow. And then he walked away. And I'm like, well, here's my shadow. You just came to visit me? Can't you stay a little longer? And I think God thinks that way sometimes. Stay longer. Stay longer. Come more often. Why don't I just prepare a place for you? Why don't I just create this nice soft bed? You can just stay there. You don't have to leave. And the refrigerator is full. You could eat at any time. I'm available. So we dwell in the secret place instead of just visiting. We need to get rid of unforgiveness. Ephesians 4:26 says to keep your heart clean and don't let the sun go down on your anger. So when somebody says something, accuses you, and you want to defend yourself, then you need to simply be still. Do not defend yourself. Jesus is your defender. Your defense comes from him. And when you go to bed angry, you are allowing anger to carry over into the next day. You're giving anger time to work its way into your heart. So don't let the sun go down on your anger and allow Jesus to be your defender. The scripture says if we fail to forgive every man from our heart, he will not forgive us. And not only that, the person is turned over to the tormentors. And it is not God's limitation to help us. It's our limitation to receive that forgiveness. We've stepped out of alignment, and those blessings can't flow to us. We've stepped out from the shadow. So confess to the Lord that you have been hurt by someone. Say, God, that person, did you hear what they said to me? And you're not going to complain about it, but you're going to say, this happened. This happened. I didn't like it. Pray for the person to be saved and delivered from their hurt against you. So that's number two. Pray for the person to be saved and delivered from their hurt against you. Why would they say that? Maybe I did something. I don't know. But pray for that person. Ask to be delivered from your anger against them. Say, God, help me with this anger. I'm angry. Help me to not be angry. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. And then, of course, you're going to beat up those lies of demons. You're going to beat them up. You're going to do what you got to do. Get revenge on those demons that tried to get you to stay angry. And then follow up with whatever God tells you to do. Maybe you did something and you needed to apologize. Or, you know, whatever God tells you to do, do it. Maybe bake them a pie. I've done that before. Bake a pie for this person. Bring it to them. And watch that anger that they had against me just wash away. Oh, apple pie. Thank you. Whatever God tells you to do. follow up. So here's a checklist to draw close to God. And you're going to do it with passion as a pathway to draw close to God. Consecrate daily time to be alone with God. Compare the time that you spend alone with God to the time that you spend relaxing and watching TV. What's the ratio there? Or maybe you're a person that works and works and works and works. What's the ratio there? You need to consecrate time to spend with God. James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So consecrate that time to be alone with God. Read the Bible. Psalm 1, verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. Meditate on the Word of God. Commune with the Lord over Scripture. You're going to feed your soul on these words of God. You can take any of these scriptures, how God sees you, where are you located, take any of those scriptures and spend 3 minutes just meditating on it. What does that mean, Lord? What does that mean for me? What does that mean for us, you and me? And allow the Holy Spirit to get those words into your heart and listen to what he has to say. We enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So we come into his presence with praise and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the quickest way to God. If you're feeling far away from him, start thanking him for stuff. Thank him for your family. Thank him for your job. Thank him for your car. Thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. And after a while, it's like, oh, yeah, thank you, God. Thank you. And now you're entering in, right? Now you're into his gates. You're into his courts with praise. Praise him for who he is. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. So we're joining with the angels, singing the songs of heaven, and we glorify his character in song. That's what we do when we come together on Sunday mornings. We worship him, but we start with praise and thanksgiving, and then we come into that quiet place, and we're into that holy of holies of God. Be still and know that he is God. Be still and know. You're not going to guess, because when you do that centering where you just become aware of who he is in you, you enter in gently and you enter in softly. And you're communing with him. He's flooding up through your being, filling you again, and connecting you to who he is. And you listen to the Holy Spirit, because he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So draw close to God, and you will experience his heart towards you. Carry his presence with you throughout the day. Carry his presence. We are light bearers, carrying the presence of God. We are His temple, the Ark of the Covenant. So be sensitive to His voice. Be sensitive to His voice and listen. Live in union with Him and display His glory as we learn to continually dwell in the secret place. Amen. Draw close to God, and He will draw close to you.
I like Deborah's example of the cup of water in the ocean. Sometimes it's hard for our minds to get around the concept of God in us, because He's so big and so awesome and amazing, and us in Him. But it's beyond our understanding. So she took something that we can identify with. And it's kind of, I guess it comes back to driving a car or the mechanics of a car. When I took driver's ed, I was so grateful that they skipped testing us on the chapter about the mechanics of how a car is put together and how it runs. Because I know how to drive a car, but I can't tell you a whole lot about the mechanics of it. And I don't really have to know that in order to know how to drive it. And so the thing is, we trust God. He says we are in Him and He is in us. And we trust that that is so. As we draw near to Him, we know that He's ready to draw near to us. And what a wonderful place to be. I like how she said, dwell in the secret place. Let's not just visit. Let's move in. Amen. It's a wonderful thought. So thank you, Deborah. That was insightful and encouraging and inspiring as to who we are in God's sight. We get so caught up in the things of the world and we make mistakes and yada, yada, yada. But God looks down and He sees us as beautiful and wonderful and the apple of His eye. And He says it about each one of us. He doesn't play favorites. We're all His favorites. So let's focus on that. That would be how He would want us to view it. Amen. So let's take this time now and go into communion. And let's take a moment to pray a USP, unknown sins prayer. Unless you have something specific to pray, then by all means do that one instead. And we'll be right back to partake of communion. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread, He blessed it and broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is My body broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." Thank you, Lord Jesus. Again, we don't understand, but we don't have to. We just believe Your word, and we know that You paid that price for us, and that the benefit of that sacrifice now belongs to us. Health and healing and wholeness from every sickness and every disease and every infirmity and every pain. Every something that jumps on our body, we get to say, "No! Jesus has paid the price for you to be gone from Me." And we take our authority and we command it to leave. We command our bodies to line up with the Word of God. It says that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We are the healed of the Lord, and we say so. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our Jehovah Rapha, for paying that very dear price for us to walk in health and healing and wholeness. We love you, Lord Jesus, and say thank you, thank you, thank you, as we now partake together of the precious broken body of Jesus in that wonderful great exchange for our health and our healing. Thank you, Lord. In the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. This do in remembrance of me." Oh, Jesus, thank you. Our sins washed away. We're made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. We're in right standing with God because of Jesus' sacrifice. And the life is in the blood. This is a cup of life. It's a cup of blessing, for the blood of Jesus has accomplished so much on our behalf and continues to bless us. Every time we partake of the body and the blood of Jesus, Jesus' one-time sacrifice has blessings that pass on down through time to us. And we thank you, Jesus, as we now partake together of this precious blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, praise God. Now it is time for us to line ourselves up with the Word of God, to take the Word of God that says that we've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and we are going to affirm it 20 times. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Everybody ready? We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. It's such a wonderful, wonderful gift. And I think each one of us can attest to this. As the days passed and the number associated with our lives gets a little bit higher, that being healthy and whole is the most precious gift, most precious gift. And we thank you so much, Jesus, for all you did to make that possible for us.